One sat alone beside the highway begging. His eyes were blind, the light he could not see. He clutched his old rags and shivered in the shadows. Then Jesus came and bade his darkness flee.
It's time to open the Word once again with Evangelist Lester Roloff on the Family Altar Program.
Glory, for all is changed when Jesus comes to stay.
If you have your Bible, turn with us to 1 Corinthians 10, 13. The question, if a man were to fall, can he get up? And should he get up? For instance, if I'm defeated tonight, is there any hope of victory? As a Christian, can I expect temptations? And if I fall, will the Lord restore me to fellowship with Him? Let me give you the caution found in 1 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse 12. Wherefore, let him that thinketh he standeth take heed, lest he fall. There hath no temptation taken you, but such as is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that you're able, but will with the temptation also make a way to escape that you may be able to bear it. Have you ever noticed what the next verse says? Wherefore, my dearly beloved, flee from idolatry. Get away from the idols you're tangled up with. That's the trouble with most people. Nearly everybody in America has some idol. And an idol is anything that you think more or spend more time with than you will the Lord. Idolatry. The Bible said, disobedience is as the sin of witchcraft, and stubbornness is as idolatry. Now, is there any hope for me? If I fail and then fail, if I've fallen, can the Lord pick me up? Turn with me, please. And this is where the Christian comes in. Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 32. And be ye kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven us. Now back up to Galatians, please. Galatians chapter 6. And this just about sums up the truth of what we can do about it. Brethren, he never refers to the world and unsaved people as brethren. This is for Christians. Brethren, if a man be overtaken in a fault, ye which are spiritual, restore such an one in the spirit of meekness, considering thyself, lest thou also be tempted. Bear ye one another's burdens, and so fulfill the law of Christ. The Bible said, bear ye one another's burdens, and so fulfill the law of Christ. The Bible said, as you would that men do to you, do even so to them. This is the law. That's the law. The Bible says, the law of the Lord is perfect. Now, that's the law we accepted. I thought we were to shoot for perfection. And if I can find something perfect, I'd rather have that for my goal than something that's imperfect like what man does. Now then, there's another question, and with that, I'm off into the message. A man came to Jesus and said, I've just been concerned about, I know there are a number of commandments, but I'd like for you to just pick out, and I'd like your word and your authority on which is the great commandment. And Jesus said, love, love. Well, he said, tell me a little more about it. He said, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy mind, thy soul, thy strength, all that's within thee. Listen, thou shalt love. That means love the Lord. Number two, he said, we got one lives next door to it. And he said, that's where your neighbor lives. And the second is likened to it, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. Brother, what a challenge. Now, you know where that's found, don't you? That's found in the Sermon on the Mount. You know who the Sermon on the Mount was written for, don't you? Not unsaved people, but Christians. Christians. Now then, get it. The second is likened to that. Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. And then he made a great, big statement after this double-barrel assignment. On these two hang all the law. And that's it. Now then, who's violated? Do we love the Lord? And then do we love our neighbor as ourselves? Now then, in order to introduce the message that I'm going to bring, I'd like to refer to some things that have been of interest in the last few days. In show business, God is your co-star. Now, we've got such a light toxin of religion being shot into the American people. They have become immune to the real thing. It has been sort of glorified to be so-called born again. And they call it the God bit. Brother, he's more than a bit. If he's a bit, he's the biggest bite I ever tasted. But I'm going to show you, and this makes the paper so big, you know. And I'll read just a little of it. God is your co-star. And they said that an actor offered a special prayer before opening night. Please, God, help me make a big hit tonight. You help little nobody actors, civilians, complete strangers, even chorus girls. Why not help me, a star? Now, that sounds religious, doesn't it? Now then, he said something else here. He said, how do you handle the haters? People that hate you. Well, he said, I ask him. He said, easy. He said, love the hell out of them. Now, you don't do it like that. But you see, that's cheap jargon. The movie business has dragged the name of Christ, has brought God down lower than a human being. Let me read on. And Frank Sinatra told me, I believe that God knows what each of us wants and needs, even if we don't make it to church on Sunday. Now, one of the things they'll say is that church is not important. You can find him any place. And if that sounds heretical, my source is pretty good. So he quotes the Sermon on the Mount. That's the one I referred to. Now remember, the Sermon on the Mount is only for born-again people. And yet they are talking about their religion. Well, I got news for you. That's religion, but not salvation. But you see, all of this is glamorous, and it makes you think maybe that the whole world has turned to religion. Yes, he built one path that's sprinkled with blood all the way. No cross, no Calvary, and no Jesus in this entire article. Pearl Bailey says, my church is where I am. See this ground? That's my floor. See the mountains? They're my walls. The sky? That's the ceiling of my church. But is it strange to you that after 46 years of preaching, I never have had anybody to testify that they got saved in that church. Not even one. These golf course nature boys that say, Sunday, I go to the golf course and I can worship God on the golf course. I just never have heard anybody get up and said, Brother Olaf, may I testify? I said, you sure may. Oh, listen, I was at hole 9. Fact is, I'd already teed up. And all of a sudden, I fell under great conviction. I dropped that club that I had and fell on my knees and said, Lord, be merciful to me, a sinner. I never ever heard that. I mean, I've been waiting for it, but I just never have. Let me tell you something, Buster. There's no substitute for an old-fashioned gospel-preaching church to get you under conviction and get you saved. Brother, it's Jesus that makes the difference. Not a bunch of junk called religion. Hollywood religion will take you straight to hell. Listen. Junk like this is misled. And a man said to one of the converts, and I've never known a Hollywood star to really get converted, changed, made a new creature that didn't bid goodbye to Hollywood. I've never known of a man that got saved by the grace of God to be back in Las Vegas the next night, entertaining the devil's goats. And you haven't either. You say, what are you doing? I'm preaching just like the preachers preach that made this nation great. I'm preaching the message. It's conviction that brings about conversion and a change of life completely. And they said to one of the converts, you mean you don't drink anymore because this man had a tremendous drinking? Oh, no, he said, I don't drink anymore. And the remark was this, you mean when you wake up in the morning, you don't reach out and get a drink, or all day long you don't know? No, he said, I don't drink anymore since Jesus came in my heart. Every once in a while, one of them gets saved. But there's a mighty difference. And then this is what they said. He said, imagine waking up in the morning and knowing that's as good as you're going to feel all day long. I like that. Man, when I wake up in the morning, those are wonderful moments. I don't have a headache, and I don't have a heartache over a bunch of drinking problems and stuff that went on the night before. Show people are the greatest salesmen for the God bit. So come on in and have your faith lifted. Now, that kind of article right there misleads the people that don't know what this book says right here. Therefore, I want to refer to it, but there's something else. I notice here, public school prayer opposed. Leaders of the organized religious community yesterday mounted an intensive effort to block passage of legislation that would permit the return of prayer to the public school. And everybody looked like, now notice what it said, we believe that the responsibility for religious education rests in religious institutions and in the home, but certainly not in secular public schools, said a letter from 7 Protestant and Jewish groups. I want to ask you if you'd reason with me. I thought of Isaiah chapter 1, verse 18, when I read that, come, let us reason together. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Now I'm going to make some conclusions. I'm going to make some conclusions. Number one, since prayer and Bible have been taken out of the public school system, the school has gone nowhere except down. I mean just down. Now, say what you will. Dope has come in the halls. Violence has come in the halls. Now, the next thing I want to say, and that is this. I don't believe that the public school system is the answer to the problems that we face. I do not expect them. I think they will never, as long as they're state operated, meet the needs. But I'm simply showing you something. Now then, the state and Madeline Murray O'Hare and the people that said we don't want the Bible in the school, we don't want prayer in the school, and as a result, the public school system is completely corrupt and doomed for failure. There was a time when I could go in any prison system in this country and preach, whether it was a revival or just a visit, not anymore. Now, follow me closely. Now, folks, what I'm saying tonight, we can't expect help from God unless it comes through Jesus Christ. What did he mean when he said, I've come that you might have life, that you might have it more abundantly? What did he mean when he said, let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go to prepare a place for you, I will come again, receive you to myself, that where I am, there you may be also. And whither I go, you know, and the way, you know. And Thomas said, Lord, we know not whither thou goest. How can we know the way? And Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, the life, and no man cometh to the Father but by me. That's the words of Jesus. Oh, that blessed theologian and God's great homiletic man and his writer of doctrine named Paul said one day, there's one God, one mediator between God, the man, Christ Jesus. Neither is there salvation, Luke said, let me add to that. Neither is there salvation in any other, for there's none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. Brother, I preach to you the only gospel there is. It's not a Catholic gospel. It's not a Mariology or a Pope-itis or a Lester Roloff-itis or a Baptist-itis. It's Jesus Christ, and that's it. Believe it and be saved. Refuse to believe it and go to hell, but you mustn't do that. You must come to Christ if you want to be saved. Oh, if I could get you to see, your children will never get straightened out till they get saved, till they're born again. Now then, that was just the introduction to the message. I hope by this time I've gotten your attention. Last night, I spoke on something they used to say in our country way, you can't keep a good man down. I guess it doesn't mean that a good man couldn't go down, but he'll not stay down if he has the Lord to help him. I mentioned to you last night a man by the name of Moses, a man by the name of Joseph. I mentioned to you a little old captured Jew boy by the name of Daniel who went in the lion's den, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego that went in the fire furnace. Tonight, I begin with a very interesting man named Hezekiah. Hezekiah faced the ultimatum of 1 million marching men. And he said to one of his generals, go count my men. And he went out and came back, and he said, I counted 500,000. He said, they got us doubled. And the message came from old Sennacherib, and it read like this, I've heard a good deal about your God, but I want you to know that I've destroyed every god I've ever fought. There's never been a god in history that defeated Sennacherib's 1 million marching men. And you and your god will be just... You better come under. You better surrender. You better just say, all right, Mr. Sennacherib, you got the biggest army, and we'll just surrender without a fight. But instead, listen, Hezekiah, he looked at that paper. He read it, no doubt, to his generals and to his lieutenants and to his commanding officers and said, fellas, this is serious business. We face a tremendous crisis. And you know what he did? He took that piece of paper and went to his prayer place and put it down and said, fellas, let's pray over this paper. He got down there and said, Lord, you see the handwriting on their wall and on our wall from this godless man named Sennacherib. I'm going to ask you for directions and help. Before he got through praying, his message had rung a bell in heaven. God said, and send an angel. I need an angel. And I think every angel in heaven showed up. You've heard me, but I'm showing you something. This is a man that's defeated. He's doomed. He's done for. Death stares him in the face. You can surrender and live, or you can fight and die. There's no way for 500,000 people to defeat 1 million soldiers that are trained. And so he talked to God, and God had the angels to swarm by the millions around him and said, we're at your service. Listen, a million angels would have come. Whether you believe in angels or not, I do. I still believe there's some protecting guarding angels. I know I'd have to believe that. But anyhow, he said I don't need but one. And so he dispatched one little sweet precious angel and said, go down and see about Hezekiah for me. He's down there on his knees, and I've got him on my radar screen. And I want you to run down there and fight his battle for him. Hezekiah got off of his knees and had the assurance. And the word came, you know, that said, fear not. With them is an arm of flesh. 1 million, that is 2 million arms of flesh. And 2 million marching feet. Now then, I'm sending help for you. But with us is the arm of the Lord to fight our battles. And they rested themselves on the words of Hezekiah and said, we believe you're right. If you've heard from heaven, everything's going to be all right. In came the angel, made one swoop over Sennacherib's mighty army, left 185,000 laying dead as King Tut. There they are. Sennacherib looked around and said, man, we haven't started fighting yet. I've never had 185,000 to have a heart attack at one time. And you know what he did? He bailed out. You know where he went? He went straight home. Where'd he go when he got home? He ran to his dead God and said, oh, God. And his God happened to be deceased. No voice, no ear, no help. And while he was praying, his boys, great big old boys, they went to church too. They came up on their dad praying to a dead God and said, Dad, is that all you got? One little old angel circled us and like to kill all of us. Would have if he hadn't been called back to heaven. Now then, and they jumped up and killed their daddy while he prayed. Brother, God brought Hezekiah through. That's not all. You remember Hezekiah one day fell ill, and God called the best preacher he had. I mean, the outstanding prophet of his day. And he said, preacher, and he said, ready. He said, deliver a message to Hezekiah. He said, give me the message. He walked in, and there he was on his deathbed. And he said, pay up your insurance. Set your house in order. Set your house in order. You're going to die and not live. He didn't even pray for him. After all, you don't pray about what God says. I mean, if he's already said it, let it be. And Isaiah, he might have said in common parlance, sorry about that, I'm gone. And down the road he went. But, brother, that's not the end of the story. Hezekiah, he turned his face to the wall and went to prayer meeting again. He faced a wall. Have you ever faced a wall like that? When the doctor said, terminal. Terminal. No hope. No hope. And so he prayed. And he said, Lord, remember the servant. I've sought to serve you, fought your battles, believed in you. And God turned that preacher around. He made him a 180. And he came back and he said, well, you got through all right, Brother Hezekiah. I bring you a 15-year extension cord. Help yourself. And he's gone again. Brother, he was down, but he wasn't out. And he got up and lived 15 more years. Listen, don't quit just because the doctor says you can't live. Let the doctor say, so far as medical science is concerned, we have no way to help you. Oh, Dr. Hill, bless his old sweet memory. Dr. B.W.D. Hill, You've heard me tell, but I tell it again for young people because it's so. My brother Edale that called me the other night and talked with me a good long while. He fell under that dread disease back there then of typhoid fever. Oh, it passed the 7 days and was not broken. It passed the 14-day period and was not broken. And when it passed 21 days, the doctor said it looks like it could easily be fatal. And 90 days later, 3 solid months, my brother lay there and wasted away until my daddy would pick him up, the biggest boy in our family, would pick him up, roll him in ice sheets, and Edale, his eyes sunk back for death. His cheekbones stuck out like quilting frames. Great bed sores on his back. Ah, listen, that old doctor came out one morning, and my mother or dad or maybe both would meet him in the hall. After he came again, and a special nurse had come from Waco, and around the clock, they sat in our home. In that old long ranch house hall of the old Williams Ranch, they'd meet, and the doctor said one sad morning, Ms. Roloff and Mr. Harry, so far as I'm concerned, Edale is reaching the end. But there's one thing we have left, and that's prayer. And we'll pray. That's what the old doctor said. My daddy, one of the hardest working men that ever lived in Navarre County, a man brought up 3 boys and taught them everyone to work from daylight to dark. My daddy, who'd been careless about his relationship to the Lord, would go out and get in that old Hupmobile of ours and drive it up to the window where Edale was and take off that old black hat and sit there where he could be called in a moment and bow his head. And he learned some things during those valley hours he'd never learned before. He prayed. There came a day when Edale had wasted away from 180 pounds to probably 70 pounds, not more than 80 pounds. And his feet, one of them crippled, got up on the floor, one on each side of him, and Edale began to learn to walk all over again. And that's been 50 years ago, and he's still walking. Because an old doctor said, we'll go to the Lord in prayer. That old deacon doctor never failed to go to prayer meeting in his church in Dawson, Texas. Yes, there's a way. There's a way for God's people to make. There are people in this building tonight. You stand at the end of the trail so far as your resources are concerned for help. But God's not at the end of His. I give you one other. I give you one other, and the message will have to close. No, there are so many. And I'm going to continue, because I met a man this week and read about him, and he told me some things after 46 years of fellowshipping with him that I'd never seen. And next Thursday night or Saturday night, I want him to share. But I'm going to take one more man tonight. He's the last man. And I'll skip some in between. He's the last man that ever shows up in the Word of God. He's one of God's greatest men. Fact is, the devil hated him so much until one day he said, I've got to either kill him. God said, I won't let you. You haven't got any weapon that'll kill, dear Brother John. Well, he said, if I can't kill him, I'll ship him out. I'll send him to the loneliest island. I'll send him to my Alcatraz. And God said, help yourself. But he said, don't forget, I'm going to go with him. Me and him both been wanting to go over there, and we're going together. And so John got over there. And the devil said, how do you like this? Nobody to preach to. no Sunday school teacher, and no place to preach. Just you and what you call your dear God over there. Now, aren't y'all having a big time? John got up and took off for church, put on his Sunday go-to-meeting breeches and his preaching clothes, and came up, and he said, I was in the Spirit on the Lord's Day. He wasn't out of the Spirit. I was in the Spirit on the Lord's Day. And he looked up and he said, whoa, I see Jerusalem coming down. Hallelujah! Hallelujah! The devil said, yep, he lost his mind. I knew if I put him out there by himself where he couldn't circulate, he'd go crazy. He said, nut. He said he sees the new Jerusalem coming down as a bride adorned for her husband. And there he is hollering, hallelujah, and hadn't got anything to holler hallelujah about. Then he said, oh, I see Heaven's Saddle Club coming out. Oh, I see the Lone Ranger on the white horse. But his name is the Word of God. Riding again, brother. Oh, he said, I see a great band of believers. That's me. I'm done mounted on my horse, coming out behind him and singing the hallelujah chorus. And finally, I imagine the devil said, I tell you, what are you going to do about it? He said, God said, I'm going to record every bit of it and tell him what has been, is been, and what shall be till it's all over. And I'm going to wind you up, and over in the last chapter, you'll be gone. Sword of my mouth from the rider is going to get you. Ah, brother, there is no defeat. John, the greatest experience, the most lasting experience, was on lonely Patmos. Patmos, when he saw the Lord coming down with New Jerusalem, victory. The story and I close. Many years ago, some preacher told me this, and it illustrates what I want you to get as we leave here tonight. A boy got him a book. And I used to read. Oh, I didn't have many books. But if I could ever borrow a Western book, I liked to read it. I dreamed that I'd be a cowboy someday. I rode a horse. I tried to break horses, and they nearly broke me. And I've been thrown in tanks of cold December water. And I've been thrown in the mud. And I never got tired of wanting to be a cowboy. Oh, I could live the life of Hoot Gibson, Fred Thompson, Tom Mix, Art Mix. I mean, I knew all of them. Listen, talk about stars. Listen, they were just somebody to me. As a little old boy, and I'd get on my little old Daisy, that little Spanish mare of mine, and no quicker than I got on, she'd be wide open. She only had two speeds, start and wide open. I mean, she just stopped and wide open. She just run, I mean, just wide open. Run till she'd sweat and fall almost. But I loved the cow. But I read stories like Zane Grey, The Trail of the Western Pike. Little old boy got him a book one time, and he took it in, and he turned on way back in the other days, and he kind of turned on that old-fashioned light there, and he started reading, and his mother said, son, it's time to go to sleep. He said, yes, ma'am. Yes, ma'am. And so he just closed the door, and she saw the light under the crack. She came and said, I told you. Oh, it was getting interesting where he was reading. I want you to know the cowboy was in great distress. And, I mean, the hero. I mean, he was being pressed out of measure. He was just about, and he just kept reading. And finally, he went over and put a little pillow or two down at the crack. But somehow or another, you know how mothers are. She came, and she just cracked open the door and said, what did I tell you? I said, get that light off and go to sleep. He said, yes, ma'am. And just as soon as she's gone, though, he took one more risk. I mean, he hazarded his very place where he sat down. He said, it won't. He turned to the last chapter And he read, and the enemy, the villain had been killed. The hero had gone to his sweetheart, and they were married and lived happily ever after. He closed his book and threw it on the floor and said, that's all I wanted to know. How that thing is coming out. I'll go to sleep now. Cut off his life. Brother, thank God. You want to know how it's coming out? Turn to the book of Revelation. Let the devil roar and let him raise all the Cain. Turn to the book of Revelation and you'll see Jesus coming down and New Jerusalem. And that'll be the day for God's children. Someday I'm going to hear those angels singing beyond the shadow of the tomb. And all the bells of heaven will be ringing while saints are singing home, sweet home. Someday, beyond the reach of mortal ken, someday, God only knows just where and when. Oh, the wheels of mortal life, they're gonna all stand still. And I shall go to dwell on Zion's hill. That's the prospect for the Christian. Let's stand together as we pray. Every head bowed. There is a way. God never did put on any man more, as the little boy said, and help him tote. No matter how heavy a load, mother and daddy, if you'd get right with the Lord tonight and confess your sin and receive Jesus Christ as your Savior and quit playing church and quit depending on your little silly philosophy, why, Jesus would meet your need tonight.
Thank you for joining us today on the Family Altar Program with Lester Roloff. You may listen to the preaching and the special music of the Family Altar Program 24 hours a day when you visit our ministry website, roloff.org. We love hearing from our listeners. If this broadcast has been a blessing to you, please write to us at Roloff Evangelistic Enterprises, P.O. Box 100, Fort Thomas, Arizona, 85536. Again, that's Roloff Evangelistic Enterprises, P.O. Box 100, Fort Thomas, Arizona, 85536. This broadcast is made possible by the prayers and financial support of listeners like you. Thank you for partnering with us, and remember that Christ is the answer.